Brothers and sisters, pro-life leader Frank Pavone here. Well, today we are going to have a beautiful, wonderful conversation with a wonderful witness to life and to God's mercy. Her name is Stephanie Jacobson. She's got a story you're going to want to hear, and she has beautiful resources you're going to want to connect to. And then we're going to talk about one of the biggest dangers to the pro-life movement ever to exist that is on the ballot in many places this fall. This is an episode you're not going to want to miss.
So welcome to the Pro-Life Team Podcast. Father Frank and Stephanie, I'm excited to have you on here. Father Frank, would you open us in a prayer, and then we'll let Stephanie go from there and start sharing her story.
Yes, absolutely. Good to be with you, Stephanie and Jacob, and all of you brothers and sisters who are watching. Let's turn to the Lord of life and mercy. Father, we praise you. We praise you that you have brought us into existence out of nothing. We praise you that you have given us the wisdom and the opportunity to defend life, our most fundamental good, our most basic right, our most sacred treasure, and we thank you for us being part of the pro-life movement. Lord God, today in a particular way, we want to seek your blessing. First of all, as we speak for life, as we speak for healing, because Lord, we who reject abortion do not reject those who have had abortions. Rather, we embrace them with the love, mercy, and peace that come from you and from your son, Jesus Christ. And that the world cannot give and that the world cannot take away. So we pray today for the healing of all those who have been ensnared by the violence of abortion. And furthermore, Lord God, we pray for your protection, because those who promote abortion, who care nothing for the babies or for their moms or for any of us, want to advance this so-called right even farther through dangerous amendments being proposed on the ballots in 10 different states. So Lord, today we want to help our listeners gain a greater understanding of this threat and greater confidence in speaking about it and in helping to prevent it from happening. Give us your guidance, give success to the work of our hands, give power to the words from our lips, and we pray that they be your words, Lord God. And we pray in the name of Jesus the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Wow. you brought me to tears. That was a beautiful prayer. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Stephanie.
I am so honored to be here with both of you and all of your listening audience today, because I feel like God has brought me into this fight from something that I would have never, ever thought that I would be talking about: the grace and mercy of our Lord. I do want to say that, you know, this is a sensitive subject. So if someone is having struggles with having had an abortion, you know, we'll give some things at the end that you can call and talk to us. We would love to be able to speak with you. But we'll start with what I feel is why I fight this battle. It's very personal to me. I was raised in a very loving home, and my parents, they took me to church and taught us about Jesus. And I knew him as my personal savior when I was very young, and my world was very safe. And we don't think about abortions happening in these kinds of families though, right? I mean, it's kind of, we don't even think about that. We think of somebody being maybe out on the street or someone who's in prostitution or something like that. But life took a detour that I never saw coming. I had two abortions while I was still in my teens, actually. And one was at a Planned Parenthood in Kansas City, Missouri. And the other one was at KU Medical Center. But at the Planned Parenthood, I remember being in this tiny sterile room. It was just this white sterile room. And the woman who was given the job of educating me about my procedure that they were about to do slid the speculum across the desktop to explain this process, that process to take the tissue from my body, that's all she ever called it, was the tissue. At that point, I asked if I could go get my boyfriend out of the car, and I wanted to hear what he had to say because I was 16 I was alone and I was afraid. And she told me that I wouldn't need him, that this was my choice now, and he can't help me with this now, but they could. And I want to say right here that this is the same lie that they're telling women today. It is not any different. So this was 40 years ago, 45 years ago now, I guess. She told me that abortion was a decision between a woman and her doctor. And I'll tell you, to be clear, I never saw or discussed my pregnancy, my benefits, risks, or alternatives of either abortion with any doctor. So there was nothing medical about this. She said abortion was safe. Death isn't safe in any shape or form. Death is not safe. But the aftermath of those abortions, it didn't stop at the death of my children. The aftermath of those abortions was something that was never even mentioned in that small, tiny, sterile room. Depression, anxiety, anger, miscarriages, and suicidal thoughts plagued my life for many, many, many years. It actually led to a misdiagnosis at the age of 27 of bipolar. I am not bipolar. I had unresolved grief. And, you know, having life sucked from your body, it leaves you very angry. And that anger plagued me for those 40 years until I found healing. And we wonder why we have such an angry nation. Mm-hmm. When we don't value life, nothing has value. But I have two, Liam Elias and Victoria Isabel. And you may wonder why I named my children. It's because they existed and they have personhood.
That's
and
right.
And that gives them
Persons have names, right, Stephanie? Persons have names. That's why you may be familiar. Some of our listeners might be familiar. We have a project at Priests for Life called Name the Children, namethechildren.org. Mm. And part of our overall mission of promoting healing after abortion, it gives people, whether they've had an abortion or not, the opportunity to name one or more of the countless millions who have been aborted and have never been given a name. And that's so significant to give them a name, because it's for precisely the reason you just said. You know, you're among the really blessed and courageous people who are able and who see the value of sharing their abortion story. So many suffer in silence. Many others are healed, but they still remain silent. And it's not that everyone has to share their story publicly, of course. But you and I are both involved with this great movement of Operation Outcry. And we'll let you say more about that. But our friend Alan Parker and the whole team there do so much for healing those wounded by abortion. And of course, as you know, I serve as pastoral director of the Silent No More campaign, a kind of a sister effort and movement to give a platform to the voices like yours and to, as a result, help people understand first how harmful abortion is, but also help those who are locked in shame and silence to know that there's a savior and that they can take his hand and that they can rise up from that despair and that pain.
Yes. And you know, you can even have joy after this. I talk to so many women. I'm with H3 Helpline. I'm a phone coach on H3 Helpline. It's 24/7, 365 days a year. We answer phone calls. I'm answering in the middle of the night, sometimes women in the middle of their abortions, sometimes women that have had abortions 40 and 50, 60 years ago, but they can have joy after their abortions, once they find healing. You know, the scripture, Esther 4:14, is kind of the banner that I fight under. And we look at that scripture, and a lot of times you'll hear the end of that scripture, and I call them coffee cup scriptures, because a lot of times they'll put them on coffee cups or your t-shirts or something. But one day I was going back and really studying that verse. And I went back to the beginning of the verse, and it says, "For if you keep silent," this isn't even the beginning of the chapter. This is the verse. And a lot of people will not have heard this part of for such a time as this, but it says, "For if you keep silent," that tells us right there, We've got to speak. We cannot stay silent.
Right.
And then it says, God will accomplish his will. It doesn't matter if we say, if we keep silent or not, he's going to accomplish his will. And it says, for if you keep silent, relief and deliverance will rise.
Will rise.
It says for the Jews, but I say babies and mamas.
Right.
The deliverance will rise for the babies and mamas from another place. He will accomplish his will.
Yeah.
And but if you don't, there's a consequence. And what is that consequence? That you and your father's house will perish. That's an extreme consequence for not protecting life. Because if you don't protect life, you don't have liberty or pursuit of happiness. You have nothing. Life doesn't exist.
The Lord Jesus echoed that theme when he said, if you don't speak out, the very stones will cry out. You know, he said,
they will.
One way or the other, the word is going to get out, right?
And it is.
And what you're also saying is reminds me of something I preach about that, you know, in Deuteronomy, when Moses said to the people, you know, I set before you life and death, blessings and curses, choose life. Notice we can choose which way to go, life or death, but we can't choose where that road leads. Life will lead to blessings. Choosing death will lead to curses. And the lie behind the culture of death and the abortion industry is you can choose death and have blessings. Doesn't work that way. You can choose life or death, but the consequences are fixed. Life will lead to blessings. Death will lead to curses. But when the death leads to curses, as you are a witness of, repentance can lead you back to life. And that's the beautiful thing.
That is the beautiful thing. And in the repentance, there is something that, you know, it's hard when a woman has gone through an abortion and they want to find a place that's safe. For years, it's been difficult to find those places because everything seemed so hidden. We have so many more valuable places that women can go and women can call, and it's more open. And yet, I believe that we have so many women, even in the church, that are stuck. And they don't feel like they can come forward and tell a soul. Mm. And so repentance is one thing, but speaking out is another. And, you know, healing is one thing. So they can come forward. I know there's Rachel's Vineyards. There's a place in Kansas City called, well, it's not If Not for Grace now, but it was If Not for Grace. That's where I went. And Karenette's and all of these different places. But, and healing is one thing. But there's another step in there that I feel like we've failed to talk about. And true freedom comes from this next step. It is to speak about the deepest, darkest hurt that you've ever had. Because when God heals you, then we should speak about that, because then others will understand that there is healing and that there is forgiveness. And so these women feel the shame and the hurt. And that's the old man. When you ask for repentance and you ask for forgiveness, that's the old man at the foot of the cross. It is freedom there. And that's what I want for these women. I can't wait to see what God's going to do, because I believe that the enemy tries to give his best, but God is the one that he provides the healing. And the enemy tries to get people with his best, but God gives his best. That's what it was. The enemy gets his best at people, but God gives his best to people. And so that's where we have to go, is to the foot of the cross.
We should share with our audience where they can connect with this help. You talked about the helpline, H3 helpline. Why don't we give people the number and or websites or whatever information you can give them that will connect them with the help they might need or a friend might need.
Absolutely. That number is 866-721-7881. And we love to talk to these women. When the phone rings, I get excited because I know that somebody on the other end of that line is looking for help.
They're looking for something that they don't have.
They're looking for Jesus is what they're looking
for. Stephanie, if you could repeat that number once again, please.
Yes. 866-721-7881. We also have texting. If you go to h3helpline.org, you can text and we will talk with you on text as well. And
H3 Helpline.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah. Well, you know, yes, you've experienced and you've heard what I also have heard so many times in helping not only the moms, but the dads after abortion. They say, you know, you saved my life. I didn't save the life of my baby, but you have saved my life. And those that work, for example, in CareNet and the other pregnancy center networks, we were just at the CareNet conference, of course. They hear the same thing too. When they are able to dissuade someone from abortion, they've saved the life of that baby, but they've saved the life of that mother too, because death, you know, the devil doesn't flirt with anybody. The devil's not interested in playing games. He wants to possess us. He wants to, he doesn't just want to harm. He wants to destroy. And so it's so easy to underestimate the power and destructiveness of sin, including abortion. So it's so, so great when we're able to both save someone from it in the first place and heal them afterwards. So once again, one more time. So h3helpline.org. And then that number one more time.
866-721-7881. And could I mention one more ministry that I'm involved in? I just became the lead for Florida in a ministry called Operation Outcry. And I know that you know who Alan Parker is, and just a wonderful man that helped to fight Roe in the Supreme Court. And the listening audience can get involved a couple of different ways and help us fight this. Women that have had abortions, men that have had abortions can go to operationoutcry.org and sign a declaration that tells how abortion hurt them. You know, the left always touts that it's healthcare. Abortion is healthcare. Well, those are just white coats. And now we don't even have the white coats. These women are taking pills in their bathrooms, aborting their babies in the toilet, not knowing what to do, because now they see that it's a baby and they can't flush it down the toilet. And I know that that's excruciating to hear, but this is the reality of what's happening. And, or they don't want to get the baby out of the toilet and wrap it up in a towel and put it in the trash, because they see that it's a valuable thing that they were lied to about. And so it's hard to imagine that you could even think that you could be lied to about something like that. But when you're in a place that you don't know what to do and you turn to someone you think is going to help you, and they give you an option of this, they don't tell you the truth, they give you an option. That option then becomes a nightmare, because now they don't know what to do. And sometimes I get these phone calls of, what do I do? You know, so we will take those phone calls as well. But Operation Outcry will give you an opportunity to confidentially tell a little bit of your story, or you can sign your name. You don't have to sign your name. It can be completely confidential, but we take these declarations, and this is what helped turn Roe v. Wade. Was almost 5,000 declarations from across the United States were codified in a brief and put before the Supreme Court. And so this is the way that we sometimes can battle this. And we need voices. We need you to speak up. We need you to come confidentially and tell us your story. Or not confidentially. My name's in there, so I'm pretty much of an open book. So it's good. It's freedom. We can also, the moral outcry is on there too. So if people have not had an abortion and they still want to say that abortion is harmful, please go on there and sign a declaration. We would love to have your voice in as well.
Yes, I was worked closely with Alan as the moral outcry was being crafted. It gives the various reasons why abortion is a crime against humanity and why it should be abolished. And this, of course, was issued, this moral outcry, before the reversal of Roe v. Wade. But very many of the arguments in there were actually things that the court ended up embracing as it overturned Roe v. Wade. But this is an opportunity to do exactly what the words say, that all of us who are morally outraged by abortion, as we should be, need to do what the scriptures say. I think of Isaiah 58, cry out full-throated and unsparingly and tell the house of Israel their sins. Well, we have to tell the house of America its sins and the house of the whole world its sins when we're killing our tiniest babies. Moral outcry. Yes. I want to add my encouragement to yours for everybody to get involved in that. And, you know, testimonies like yours, Stephanie, and like all the women of Operation Outcry and all the women of Silent No More, too, together with the men who have spoken out. Many of those can be found at abortiontestimonies.com. That's another helpful website, abortiontestimonies.com. And they can watch them. They can search for different types of testimonies. And it's all very, very helpful. So you and I are involved in a big battle. You and I are both in Florida. But it's not only in Florida. It's in 9 other states where there are these very, very dangerous amendments, abortion amendments. And I'd like to transition that into that. Stephanie, you can give us a kind of an overview. But let me tell right at the outset here, our listeners, the states we're talking about, because some of you may be in these states, but even if you're not, all of us, every one of these state battles is a national battle, and we all need to be involved. So we're talking, of course, Florida, where Stephanie and I both reside. But in addition, Arizona, Colorado, Maryland, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, Nevada, New York, and South Dakota. 10 states are facing, really, although there are variations in the wording, they're all about the same thing, aren't they? They're about unlimited abortion imposed on the people, imposed by the state constitution. Stephanie, talk to us a little bit about this.
Oh, well, I had my abortions in Missouri, but now I'm in Florida. And it just so happens that both of those states are fighting this at one time and with all of the others. And if it's not happening this year, it's coming to a state near you. Yeah. And it's already happened in what, 7 different states have already fallen to this very constitutional change. I don't have that list in front of me, but if you haven't had it, check it out in your state and see if it's on your ballot, because it's something that it is so deceptive. The wording is so deceptive that if you don't start looking at it now, you may be deceived when you go into the ballot box, because they make it look so tasty and so loving and kind and, you know, flowery, or so something that only a lawyer could understand, and you don't know what to do. So don't be deceived. Be forewarned and know that this is your warning to look, to find someone in your state that knows what's going on. And I know that Florida, I don't know if you've seen the signs no on 4, but is.
We got them in front of our office.
on the
roadway there. Yeah.
And you can get those it's votenoon4.com. You can go on there and you can get signs on there and rat cards and different things. So I think each state, hopefully, I know Missouri is fighting tooth and nail as well.
They had
a big decision today. Yeah.
Yeah, just today, exactly. Before we came on to do this taping, I had just sent out a press release to Missouri. They were trying to, I think, a very, very valid effort to keep the amendment off the ballot because it's not transparent. It doesn't tell people the implications, right? Missouri has so many pro-life laws. And they would all be threatened. They would all be challenged. They would all ultimately be invalidated if they went to court. And it's only right that the citizens should know some of these implications. And that's what Stephanie, I'd like you to delve into some of these implications of these. In other words, they do a whole lot more harm than the words say that they do. Right? We want to explore this a little bit for people. But there is a website people can get. Yes, Jacob.
So it's vote. It's a vote no on 4, the number 4, Florida.com.
Okay. That might be, that's Florida Family Voices is the one that's putting that out. But
Florida
Family
Voices, yeah. But there is a webpage, State Ballot Measures. So stateballotmeasures.org. will give you the information on each of these 10 states that I mentioned and the websites for each of those states where, well, you'll see, we put the pro-abortion websites there too, so you can see the deceptive strategy that the other side is using. But you'll also see the links to the pro-life coalitions in each of these states that are working to stop these dangerous measures. But go ahead, Stephanie, let's explore why these are so dangerous and deceptive.
Well, the first thing it will do, it will wipe off every law that y'all have fought for in your state. So every measure that protects not only the baby, but the mother. We have one here in Florida. We have a law on the books in Florida that if a baby or a mother is pregnant with this baby and the baby is struggling and it's going to the mother is going to die or the mother is going to have problems from this, then they have measures that they know that they have to take save the mother's life and not take, not let the baby live, or they will take and do a C-section or something for that baby. Uh-huh. And so sometimes the baby will live, but sometimes it doesn't. And so the mother is valued as well as the baby. Right. So we try to get the best possible effort out of that, but it will wipe away any law that's on the books that we have fought for. It will make pregnancy, it will make abortion legal all the way up to and through the birth. So
all the way.
Yep. It will, there is nothing to stop it.
And Stephanie, doesn't that go directly against the will of the people? I mean, the American people have never agreed to late-term abortion. Never. Any opinion.
Never.
Look at whatever opinion poll you want, any year you want, you won't find it. Not only that, but Florida. Look what we did just in the last couple of years. We passed a law first limiting abortion to 15 weeks. And then just the following year to 6 weeks. And that just went into effect just a few months ago.
April 1st. Like, yep.
Right? The will of the people is clear. I mean, we're electing these pro-life lawmakers, pro-life governor. They're passing these laws. They're signing them. That's the will of the people, not abortion until birth.
Well, this is the thing that's really hard to understand about this particular thing, this particular ballot initiative, is that if the people walk into that ballot box and are deceived and they vote yes on this, no lawyer, no legislator, no governor, and no Supreme Court can turn it over.
Right. It's the Constitution.
No, it will be completely engulfed in the Constitution, and you will not be able to turn it over with a legislator. This cannot be fought again. And it has to go back to the vote of the people, which costs millions of dollars. And so the deception isn't just now, it will be later too. And they're not going to stop if this passes. This will not be the end of it. This is constitutional law. Constitutional law is the basis for every other law that's built on top of it. Right. So if homicide is codified into the constitution of these states, trafficking, sex change, all these other laws are going to be so much easier, because if you codify homicide into the constitution, what else do you have? I mean, it will be so much easier for the lawyers to come in and build on that.
Definitely. Talk to us about parents' rights. Parents' rights are affected by this Amendment 4 and likewise by the other amendments in these other states.
It's not only affected, it's taken away. So you will not have the right to tell your child that they can't have an abortion. I mean, you can keep them from going to the abortion clinic, but the problem is the wording is deceptive, because in Florida, and I'm sure it's in the other states as well, it takes away the consent of a parent, and it gives them, where they will notify the parent that their child has had an abortion or is having an abortion. And the problem with that is these kids are probably lying. I know I did when I had my abortion. They're not going to give the correct number or the correct email to their parent. And if they do, they don't have to notify them. They've not said when they're going to notify them. It might be the morning of. A parent gets a notification that, oh my gosh, my child's going to have an abortion today. what's that all about? Or 2 days later, my child had an abortion. So, I mean, they take away the consent, and we can't even give cough drops in or cough medicine in a school. But this leads to the next part. The healthcare provider, they yes. do not summarize who that is. And in they the state of Florida, and I'm sure right. they it could be the school nurse giving your child the abortion pills to take and abort your grandchild. So it's, I mean, there's a bigger issue to this. Abortion is a symptom of a deeper problem, but this is what we're fighting right now. And we have to be very much on guard and keep our watch up, because in the state of Florida, the definition for healthcare provider has 50 different definitions. So
physical therapist, right?
Massage therapist. I'm a massage therapist.
Optometrist.
So I would have the right. Yes. It makes no sense. And they did that on purpose. It's very deceptive. So they can, I mean, I don't think you're going to go to your optometrist and get an abortion pill or get, you know, but you never know. You can get abortion pills online.
Yeah. Well, as you know, what they can do is they can certify that this person should have an abortion. You see, this is where it's so deceptive, just like you're saying, because to your earlier point, this allows abortion throughout pregnancy. But if you read the words of the amendment, it says up until viability. Okay.
Yeah.
First of all, viability is not defined, and viability is not even a point in time. It's a prediction of how well the baby will survive after birth. It's a prediction. But putting that aside, then it says the word or. So it's not just until viability. It's viability or what? Or when needed for the health of the mother. And what else is not defined? Health. But who determines it? The healthcare provider, which is also not defined. So any of those, like you said, 50 different categories of people considered healthcare providers could say, oh, well, this woman is, she's too anxious, she's too nervous, she's too worried. Even though she's 30 weeks pregnant, she needs to be able to have an abortion. And this is what happens, right?
It is what happens. And, you know, like I said, I'm a massage therapist. And so the sciatic nerve is a problem when you're pregnant. It will sometimes flare. And to the point where you want to die. I mean, it's like, oh my gosh, this is horrible. Sometimes pain. They are bedridden. You know, it is a horrible pain. And, you know, they could go to a massage therapist or a doctor and say, I'm having this horrible pain. The best thing for you to do is to abort your, I mean, it's crazy. Cause I was talking to someone the other day and they said, well, that doesn't happen. And Planned Parenthood also said it doesn't happen. But I will tell you this, I was on the phone the other day with a 27 week pregnant mother. Well, actually she had aborted her baby the day before, but she was 27 weeks. And her boyfriend had a fight. And so she just flippantly went out and got the abortion pill and had that and aborted that baby.
Yep.
And then she was calling me because she realized this was not what she wanted. And it's interesting because 40 years ago, 45 years ago, when I had my abortions, we had to go to a book to see a fetus. We didn't have the 4D sonograms that they have now and the heartbeat. But you know what? Women are becoming desensitized to that even. And so I pray that God will open their hearts and their minds and their eyes and to see that he has put a sanctity of life within sight of the marriage. And there is an order to all of this and there's a reason for it. And so I would... You know, I know we don't want to talk about, you know, I won't go there because that raises a whole nother question, but the whole sexual part of it and everything is such a hard issue these days because we're such inundated with the sexuality of everything. And these kids growing up don't have a chance to not see these things because they're in their phones.
Right.
And so if we could tell the parents, be proactive with your children so that they don't have to come to a place where they're checking online or they're talking to their peers and their peers have had abortions. Well, it's no big deal. Or to have sex, it's no big deal. It is a big deal. Mm-hmm. And it's sacred. And God put an order to it that is beautiful within marriage and beautiful. So if you are suffering from an abortion or if you are in a relationship that you don't know what to do, talk to somebody, talk to us, talk to Father Frank Pavone. He, you know, there are people out there that will listen and that care. It's time to rise up.
You know, it's incredible what's going on here and what people have to realize about these amendments. And again, stateballotmeasures.org, you can see what's going on in all these 10 states. What they have to realize is they're not just putting a right to abortion. They're making this a right to a speedy and unhindered abortion. Now, especially those that work in pregnancy centers have to understand the abortion industry sees the pregnancy center movement as a hindrance and a delay to getting an abortion. What these amendments do, and this is true across these various states, they'll have this word burden. The abortion right has to be unburdened. They use the word delay. We have that in the Florida one. You cannot delay an abortion. You cannot hinder an abortion. Well, what do these words mean? Well, they don't define them, but we know how the other side is going to try to use them because they've done it before. If you have health and safety regulations in the clinics, or even if you have, you know, this informed consent and, you know, you got to get some basic information, including about the alternatives, you might want to go and visit a pregnancy center before you get your abortion. The other side considers that a delay, a hindrance, an interference with the abortion. And now what these amendments are doing is they're making that not only illegal, but unconstitutional, which, as you explained, Stephanie, it's a higher level of it's a higher level of public policy. This is really bad. And people, we have got to sound the alarm and people have got to oppose these amendments.
They sure do. And they're dangerous and deceptive. And, you know, we need to defeat it. I would ask this, too, that, you know, we're kind of an echo chamber right here. Us three are an echo chamber because we know it. We're fighting it. We're going to do it. But there is no way to fight this except through the grassroots. The people that are listening to this podcast, you're the answer. We're not. I mean, I can speak to maybe 1,000 people, but you have a circle of influence that I don't have. And for you to step out of your comfort zone, find these websites that he was saying. What did you say? Stateballotmeasure.org.
Exactly.
Go on there and find out what the measures are on your ballot. Find out what they are and why they're deceptive, and then talk. Just have conversations. I have a hairdresser that I know does not think like I do, and we were talking about it the other day, and I said, "Can I ask you a question?" And he's like, "Sure." And I said, "Do you think it's okay to kill a baby when it's more than likely going to be born within the next 6 weeks, 5 weeks, 3 days?" And the look on his face was horror.
Yep.
And I said, "You don't think so?" And he goes, "Absolutely not." And I said, "Well," and this is in Florida. And I said, "Well, we've got a measure on our ballot this year, Amendment 4, that if you vote yes, there will be abortion up to birth." And I thought that man was going to come unglued. He goes, "I will not be voting for that. I will be voting no." So, you know, you just have to have the conversation.
You just speak up. That's right. You just speak up. You're a good example of that. And it's to the people that, you know, we don't have to wonder, oh, how are we going to reach all these people? It's the people God puts right in front of us. Right? Right.
Do you know what Planned Parenthood said about this measure was that they are counting on a sleepy and lethargic church.
Yes. Well, Stephanie, that echoes the words that Dr. Bernard Nathanson said, as you know, one of the founders of the abortion movement in America decades ago. He said the only reason they got away with it was that the church was asleep.
Mm-hmm. Wake up.
Yep.
Wake up. it's time. It is time to, you know, the scripture talks about being hot or cold. God said he would rather you would be hot or cold. He said that the lukewarm, he'd spew you out of his mouth.
Yes.
That's a scary thought too, because God is not mocked, and he created life in his image. And we are taking, you know, the enemy thinks that if he can kill the image bearer of God before she's taken a breath, he's won. But I'm here to tell you that those of us have had abortions, we understand the value of life. And we understand that at the foot of the cross, we have forgiveness of sins, and it's for an eternity. It's not just for this life. So don't just think this life. Think about the platform that you can have. If someone's had an abortion, you know, I ask forgiveness. When I give my testimony, I ask the audience for forgiveness. Mm. Why do I do that? I give them an opportunity to search their heart and say, do I forgive this woman for having her abortion? You'd be surprised. I had a representative in Missouri when I was giving my testimony one time. He came up to me afterwards, a friend of mine. He goes, I had to think about that for a minute. He said, because that's what I fight all the time in Missouri. I'm getting Florida and Missouri mixed up. In Missouri, he said, I fight against this at the Capitol. He said, I had to think about whether I forgave you or not. And here's the key to that. If you can't find forgiveness in your heart for these women that have had abortions, why not? Why can you not? Is there something holding you back? Do you have something in your life that maybe you need forgiveness for, or that you have an unforgiveness towards someone else? And if so, make that right, and then help these women understand that there is forgiveness forgiveness at the foot of the cross. That's the most important thing today. But these ballot measures, we have got to get on that and talk to your friends, talk to your pastors especially, and see if they will. My pastor just spoke about it, and it's legal to speak about it from the pulpit.
Good. That's
it
right.
It is legal.
Important point. Yes.
You can speak about issues. You cannot speak about a candidate, but you can speak about the issues. So it's our right. It's our right to know this. It's your right to talk to the people that you know. So in any measure, it's your right to talk to the people you know.
And the domain name for that you were mentioning before, it's state ballot, BALLOT. Measures, plural, with an S at the end, .org. And then that redirects to a Preach Your Life page with these different states that are facing these ballot measures, along with some more links for information.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
And, you know, we've won some victories already. We've kept this, the pro-abortion people in Arkansas wanted to put it on the ballot there, and the pro-life people got it stopped. And the same thing in Minnesota. They wanted to put it on there. The pro-life people got it stopped. You know, in most of these states, it takes just 50% plus one to pass these amendments. However, Colorado has a threshold of 55. And we in Florida, we're in the best position. We have a threshold of 60%.
Yes.
So that can help. I mean, we can't take anything for granted, but that'll certainly help us to defeat this thing.
It will. I will tell you that my friends up in Michigan that had this passed in Michigan the last cycle, and they're now fighting. They've already got it in their constitution, and now the left has come back and they're fighting. They're suing to have abortions now paid for by the government.
That's what these amendments. That's right. These amendments do that. They're gonna. They don't only take away protection from the baby. They take away protection from our tax dollars to go to fund the killing baby. And that's that. People have got to see that as a problem too.
And I would tell the people of Florida to please read the whole thing, because there is going to be something under the summary that you're going to vote on, but underneath that is going to be the budget. How it will affect our budget. And that is a really important thing to read. So don't just read the top and say, this is about abortion and I don't know how to vote. I don't know what to do. Read the whole thing before you, it's, The first part's deceptive, but I believe if you read the second part, it will become more clear. I don't know about the other states, and I apologize for not knowing.
Arizona, they had a victory there because they put some clarifying language there too that talks about the unborn child. You know, and this is where I think the battle over these coming weeks, besides getting out the vote, is precisely there. The clarifying of the language is so much of what this boils down to, and we do have an advantage there in Florida, but some of the others too, like Arizona, for example, are making it clear that what this is.
In Arizona, we actually had a legal fight. There was a legal fight by the Arizona Right to Life of Arizona, fighting to, use certain words to describe the unborn person as an unborn child.
Yep.
And essentially there was a fight there to use certain language, and it went through the courts over the last several weeks.
Yep. That's awesome. It was a recent victory. Well, Jacob, you've been a great, gracious host to us, and we don't want to overextend our time, but we'll throw it back to you. And Stephanie, you've been a great witness.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate being on with you both today.
Well, in the wrap up here, Father Frank, would you close us in a prayer and really just ask for God's favor and His blessing on our country and.
Absolutely.
And especially when it comes to these ballot measures that are coming up soon.
Absolutely. Let us pray. God, you are the God of truth, and you have sent us the Spirit of truth. So we pray right now against the spirit of deception, because this is the only way, mm-hmm. Lord, that the pro-abortion people advance their cause. They not by proclaiming the truth, but by hiding the truth. And they hide it well in these ballot measures. Mm-hmm. Lord, we ask that the Spirit of truth will expose to the light of day what is really going on here, and will help our fellow citizens have clear understanding before they cast their ballots. Lord, protect the rights of these babies. Protect the rights of parents, which would be decimated by these amendments. Protect the rights of legislators to pass laws to protect these babies, because these amendments would take those rights away. Lord God, bless our nation and preserve us in your grace. You are the God of life. You are the God of love. You are the God of compassion. May we stand for life. May we reflect your compassion. And may we build a truly just society that protects especially the weakest among us. Make us strong witnesses for life. We pray in the name of the author of life and the conqueror of death, the only savior of the world, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
We this day to the Father, come we this day to the Son, come we to the Holy Spirit, come we this day with God, come we this day with Christ, come we with the Spirit powerful. Spirit and Jesus.